Blog Talk Radio.
To take this opportunity to invite
you to tune in every Monday at the same time to the Crossroad broadcast. We would like to also to introduce to you our panelists here on the broadcast, and they are as following: Pastor Rosemary Lucio and Dr. June Normio. Dr. Normio today is going to be talking about the effects of guilt, because our main topic today is guilt. And Pastor Rosemary Lucio is going to talk to us about the cause of guilt. And later I'll come in and we will finish up and do some more assessment of guilt. Now, we would like for you to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. This is an important topic that we have today, and I'm quite sure that you will be blessed. But first of all, we would like to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you, God, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. Father, we thank you for the great and the mighty things, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That word have we hid in our heart, God, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we pray now, God, that you will have your way today. We ask thee, God, to move, God, upon city to city, state to state, God. Touch every listener, God, those that are listening, those that are going to be listening, God, to this broadcast. Lord, we pray now, God, that there will be a peace, there will be a surrender, God, that there will be a deliverance, God. God, we pray, God, that their minds and their hearts and their soul and their spirit will be in line with your word. Lord, I pray, God, now, God, that you will have your way in their life. God, if some, Father God, are not saved, God, this is the day, God, that they can give their lives unto you. God, this is the day, God, that they can say yes to your will and yes to your way. Father, we ask you, Lord God, even as we pray, we lift every girl, every boy, every man, every woman, God, up to you, Lord God. God, that you will have your way in their lives, realizing, God, you know the very hairs of their head, knowing, God, what, God, their needs are, God, on today. So, Lord, we pray, God, that you will move, Father God, and specialize in every area of their lives. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. Again, you have an opportunity to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that we are on the air, that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. And even during the week and the months to come, I'm quite sure, you know, there are many people that need our help and questions that need answered, things that in their mind that they don't have anyone to talk to about. So we want you, we want to make ourselves available for you, that through our teaching as licensed Christian counselors, that you can get to receive the answer that you need. So today we're going to go, we're going to move into the first phase of our broadcast. As we said before, we're going to be talking about guilt. And we're going to start off today with Pastor Rosemary Lucio. And she's going to come and she's going to talk to us about the causes of guilt. There are many reasons why you may feel guilt. And there are reasons why you may have a turmoil, or are you going through something on the inside, if you're not at that peace, that perfect peace on the inside. So Pastor Rosemary Lucio, she will come and she will talk to you as you can get peace and the deliverance in your mind and your heart, And by the way, if you have some paper or pencil and there are some things that you just want to jot down, like on every broadcast, you feel welcome that you can do this so that you can go back later and there are some things that you may want to go over. So we want to give you the opportunity to do so. So at this time, we're getting ready to welcome Dr. and Pastor Rosemary Lucio to the Crossroads broadcast. Dr. Lucio.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for allowing me to be with you today. I give greetings to the radio audience and also to the radio host panel today. I give God all the glory and honor for my life, and I praise him and thank him for salvation. My topic today is causes of guilt. 1 John 3:20 through 21 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." So what is guilt? Guilt is a cognitive, and cognitive means intellect, reasoning, thinking, or perception, or an emotional, or emotion. And emotion means when a person gets excited, aroused, or when they have feelings. Emotional person is become in a mental state that arises spontaneously. Emotional means mental agitation or disturbance. So guilt is a cognitive or an emotional experience that occurs when a person realizes or believes that he or she has violated a moral standard and is responsible for that violation. Guilt is also closely related to remorse. I'm so very sorry for what I have done. Guilt gives rise to feeling that does not go away easily. And sometimes these feelings are driven by our conscience. Guilt and its merits and demerits are common themes in the psychology and the psychiatry community today. So we found out that guilt is often associated closely with depression. When we have objective guilt, when we have violated legal, theological, personal, or social laws and moral standards, normally, a person doesn't come to counseling because of objective guilt, which is when someone violates legal, theological, personal, or social laws and moral standards. Often, the guilty person has been caught and is afraid of punishment, or the person is experiencing subjective feelings of guilt. So a person normally doesn't come to counseling is when they have broken the law. So subjective feeling is quiet, like regret, remorse, shame, and self-condemnation. So what causes guilt? Excuse me. The number one thing that causes guilt is past experiences and unrealistic expectations. A person's standard of what is right and wrong, good and bad, usually develop in childhood before the ages of 5 years old. And the first 5 years, we know, in a child's life is very important. Because at an early age, many children have been abused. Some of the children have been shuffled from place to place, leaving them homeless, and also with an emotional imbalance. They have also experienced abandonment, regret, loneliness, low self-esteem, and the primary questions of the little ones is sometimes, why me? Or why have I been born? sometimes these children usually learn the pattern and the standards of living for living from their parents and others that are in their that they are in their charge. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That is Proverbs 22:6. In some homes, we find out that the standards are so high that the child almost never succeeds. The child gets little or no praise. And why is this? Because the parent is never satisfied. And they are, and the parents are sometimes goal seekers, not for the child, but for themselves. So we have to be very careful of the standards and the patterns that we set for our children. And the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke." And that word provoke means don't be mean, don't be cruel or abusive, and don't show favoritism to another child or person. And it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord," Ephesians 6:4. A child may be blamed sometimes, condemned, criticized, and punished so frequently that that child, whether it's a boy or girl, may or will feel like a constant failure. As a result of this, the child will develop self-blame, self-criticism, self-hate, I hate myself, inferiority complex, and also persisting feelings of guilt, all because the child has learned a set standard of standard that has been set by their parents or their guardians that seems impossible for them to reach. These standards that are set not only come from the parents, but also sometimes come from other community leaders in our society. And because the child rebelled against moral upbringing, and rebelling against moral upbringing from the children may cause additional feelings of guilt. And this guilt may be words from others, words from the parents who disapprove and condemn the child. And this is why we have to take authority of word curses, because if we do not, the child will start molding, that individual will start molding into what has been spoken into their lives. So what we have to do, we have to understand our children, our young ones, and give them godly and realistic guidance and goal. When standards of the parents and other leaders in our society are unrealistic, rigid, the young people themselves expect perfection in themselves, and they will or may set up standards or patterns that never and will never be reached. Then they will slide back into self-blame and self-guilt. Another cause of guilt is inferiority and social pressure. Why do people feel inferior? Because our self-perception are greatly influenced by the opinions and criticism of others. We put ourselves in a position to please others and not to please God. In other words, we try to live up to others' expectations. We want to please man. Inferiority occurs in a person when there is an extremely deep feeling that one is inferior to others. It is often unconscious, and is thought to drive the afflicted person to overcompensate, resulting in spectacular achievement or extreme antisocial behavior. So the person with inferiority and social pressure will say, I can't do that. I'm no good. She's prettier than me. I will never be anybody. I can't play ball like he can. I'm ugly. In everyday life, we are soaked in the unhealthy atmosphere of mutual criticism. If we don't go to God in prayer, we will allow words to dictate and direct our lives. Another cause of guilt is faulty conscience development. When people are trained to think rigidly about right and wrong, when they are convinced of their own imperfections and incompetencies, when a person is fearful of failure or punishment, and when they are lacking in the awareness of God's complete forgiveness, these people are constantly plagued with guilt feelings. These guilt feelings come not because of sorrow for sin or regret over breaking the law. They are signs that the person is preoccupied with a fear of punishment, isolation, or lower self-esteem. And low self-esteem is a low opinion on oneself. It is having a feeling of being worthless. That means a person may say, I will never be anybody. I am no good. I hate myself. I am so stupid. I am so dumb. Low self-esteem often appears to manifest physically in the body of the individual. The person may suffer with posture, they have bad posture, and they suffer with sickness and in health, and all of this is the cause of guilt. Sometimes people are often rigid and they're critical of others. They're unforgiving. They're afraid of making moral decisions. They are domineering and often shows an attitude of moral superiority. And all of these are a result of low self-esteem, which was initiated by guilt. Another cause of guilt is supernatural influences. Adam and Eve would not have known sin if Satan had left them alone. Immediately after their disobedience to God, they realized that they had done wrong and they tried to hide from God. So by hiding from God, and the result of their disobedience was destruction of mankind, the fall of man, the separation from God, and also they was forced out of the Garden of Eden. They was expelled out the Garden of Eden like herds of animals from the Garden of Eden. This cause of guilt allows Adam and Eve to leave the presence of God in a terrible and horrible way of departure. And this is why we want to take authority over guilt, because we do not want to leave the very presence of Almighty God. I will end my topic today with Mark 4:22-24. But the Bible says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither will anything kept secret, but that it shall come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Concluding that, we just have to be careful what we hear. We cannot allow the Satan and his forces to dominate our hearing, that will allow us to go into guilt, that will bring us out the very presence of God, that we will no longer exist in the Garden of Eden that God has prepared for us. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Pastor Rosemary Lucio for sharing with us today. It's so important
that you listening to what is being said, because I believe that there are many people that have many feelings, that things that they have gone through, things that they're going through, and they need help from above. All of us need help from above. And yes, when you have that inferiority complex and things that you've been dealt with as a child, maybe a young adult or an adult, that you need some help and you need God to be able to help you. We cannot do these things by ourselves, but we need God to move on our behalf. At this time, we're going to go to Dr. Jill Normill, and she is going to talk about the effects of pills. Dr. Jill Normill.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give an honor to God for allowing me to come before you again this week, and also to the radio counter and to everyone that listens to the sound of my voice. I give you honor and greetings today. My topic is the effects of guilt. And guilt is a member of what psychology calls the self-critical emotion family. This group also includes shame, embarrassment, remorse, and regret. But guilt, it isn't always necessarily bad, you know, when we allow it to exist in a healthy state. As we know that we all make mistakes in our past, we make mistakes in our present, and we will continue to make mistakes in our future. You know, it is this imperfection that not only reveals but celebrates our humanity. Being fallible is not a bad thing. That's part of human nature. You know, it's a trait that we all share, and no one is above the emotion of being guilty or feeling guilty about anything or something. Guilt is one of the emotions that comes from believing that, you know, you're responsible for a particular mistake. Oftentimes, guilt comes with the degree which the experience is based on who has affected the mistake by the mistake and how severely it affected the person. But there are different levels and different areas about the effects of guilt. You have the objective guilt, you have social guilt, you have the personal guilt, and also you have the theological guilt. And talking about the objective guilt, it can have a variety of consequences. Breaking a law that can lead to arrest or a conviction, even if people who don't feel, they don't feel like they are guilty. And the social guilt, it may bring criticism, you know, from other people. And then you come down to the personal guilt that often leads to self-criticism and condemnation. It's how we look down on ourselves. And theological guilt, you know, it has consequences that are even more serious than the objective guilt, the social guilt, and the personal guilt. But the God that we serve, who is just and holy, he does not wink at sin, and neither does he fail to notice our act of disobedience, even though when we are guilty. But according to the Bible, the ultimate punishment for sin is death, although God, you know, he forgives and pardons our sins and gives eternal life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, who has died and paid for our sins. We have to repent no matter what the sin is or what we have done, what we may feel like we're guilty of. If we confess and bring it before God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. So we can't, you know, allow condemnation of people and even ourselves to keep us in a state and to think that what we have done and what we have said or what things, even what we may think in our mind, that would cause God to not forgive us, and that we just have to walk around with that emotion of guilt on us when it can be forgiven. But the key thing is we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. We have to learn how to forgive ourselves and also learn how to forgive others so we can receive that same forgiveness as God would forgive us, and also we can learn how to forgive ourselves in a healthy way. Also, you come to One of the first ways and first things of you felt the guilt is the defensive thinking, the way you think about it. You know, and as the psychologists, they said, and as they have experimented on people by counseling, said the defense mechanisms are ways of thinking that most people use to avoid or reduce feelings of anxiety, frustration, and stress. You know, to some extent, all defense mechanisms protect us from feeling guilt. Because a lot of times when we're in a situation, and even though we may not handle it right, but it's our defense mechanism that we use for that situation, it'll cause us, you know, not to feel guilty about that manner or that thing that has happened. You know, sometimes when we feel guilty, we begin to arrive and we get angry at others. We try to justify our behaviors and deny any personal responsibility for what has happened or even apologize profusely. Because we have to just acknowledge when we are doing wrong, you know, ask God to forgive us, you know, for that wrong thing that we have done. But a lot of times, if we in our lives don't come to the truth of the matter and just knowing that we are guilty, we could be free from that thing. But when we don't do that, we could walk around with that guilt over our head. But God have a way that's mighty sweet that he'll cause us to have that peace, that he will cause us to have that tranquility, that he will forgive us is when we do things that is wrong. You know, like one Christian counselor has identified another way of thinking that appears to be used by Christians, especially when we feel guilty about sexual lust and convinced that mental or behavior lapse and moral purity are part of the sinful nature. Okay, in other words, when a person, we talk about the Christian, we talk about everybody, but I was coming from the note of what the counselors have said, that when a Christian comes into a situation where we have committed sexual lust, maybe it could be something in your mind. You continue to sin in your mind with lustful desires and acts in a manner that does not glorify God. And sometimes even with your body, you have to come to the place where you have to admit that that is wrong. And you have to just ask God to forgive and free to allow his grace to take away that guilt from you. Because if you continue to stay in that same state or just having sexual lust, things that are not pleasing to God in your mind, even in your body, and you just continue to just go on and receiving that, you embracing that, and not asking God to deliver or take that guilt away from you, take that sin away from you, you could get caught up in that situation and get to the point that you don't feel guilty about it, but you got to, if you acknowledge God, and if you know the word of God, you will know that it's definitely not the way it's supposed to be, and God will forgive you, and he will take that guilt away from you. But you first have to be honest with yourself and know that that is not how God designed for us as Christians to walk around and to live our lives with that. And not even if you find yourself in that situation, to feel like you just have to say that, so we ask God to forgive you. Even when you feel guilty, feel bad about yourself, and God will forgive you. And another one is self-condemnation reaction. You know, guilt of feeling almost, you know, and anxiety and self-condemnation and feeling of inferiority and absolute weaknesses, low self-esteem and insecurity, a lot of times people, we use that as being like a self-punishment. You know, a person who see themselves being a low self-esteem, and they don't have any, you know, get up and go about themselves, don't have nothing to feel good about themselves, about they walk around and they allow people to just take advantage of them and let people treat them any kind of way. And sometimes it gets so bad in the self-condemnation effect that even when people give you compliments, people try to praise you for what you've done and everything, and a person just set back so bad of feeling guilty about themselves what they've done that they will not even accept compliments. They won't even accept encouragement. And they stay in that state over and over again until it just calls them to just do not see themselves as God sees them. That's why you can't look down at yourself like that. No matter what you have done, you have to know and you have to believe and you have to just cause yourself and say to yourself, to know that you are a child of God. You are made in the image and likeness of him, and you have to see yourself the way God sees you. God said he made you. You are good and very good. No matter what you have done, no matter what you don't do, that you should do, don't ever allow yourself to stay in a state that you have to self-condemn yourself, because that is not who you are. You are not a punching bag to let people just punch you with words, even with physical things, with their hand, anything. You have to see yourself the way God see you. You have to just walk with your head up, and you have to know that the enemy, the devil himself, comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But God came that you would may have life and life more abundantly. You walk with your head up, and you just know that you are somebody. You are somebody in Christ. You are somebody in yourself with Christ living in you. So except when people tell you you are beautiful, because a lot of times you might feel like you condemning yourself because something you did, and nobody may not even know nothing about it, but you just feel yourself still in that rut, and you have to live that lie every day. And that's when people give you compliments and say you are beautiful. You may think that you have and know that you have done a devastating bad thing, but God knows whatever is done, what you have done. But you are somebody. Ask God to forgive you. Forgiveness is always there as being the prime antidote, being the prime answer for the healing part of guilt is forgiveness. And always remember, you have to forgive yourself. But even in that, the root part is just knowing and believing that you're going to have to forgive others. So a lot of times, you can be feeling guilty and staying like you, in that state and feel like you just can't get over that hump, and like you just can't feel a relief or not get over being that guilty and can't get your mind clear. Even if you eyes closed, you know, you see yourself in that situation coming before you. And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, is when it's so hard to be able to get that release of guilt, is because you have been holding on or holding somebody else down and back. And it's really you're holding yourself back. You get in a situation where you don't forgive others. That's one of the root and the most primary antidote it is in feeling the release of guilt. Is you have to forgive others. You can't get around in it. And then you can get that release to feel forgive others, and that'll be a door opening for God to be able to forgive you. Another one is physical reaction. It's a guilt feeling like any other psychological reaction can produce physical tension. Recent research has found that psychology effects of self-blame accumulate over the years. If you blame yourself for long enough period, your body begins to deteriorate. Whenever tensions build up in a person and are not released, the body weakens and eventually breaks down. They say some psychiatrists view this as an unconscious form of self-punishment. Psychologically, emotionally, and it can be easier to tolerate physical pain than to bear the burden of guilt that will otherwise attract our attention. Even the Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he. That even the way you think in your mind, it could cause physical things to react and cause your body to function, break down the function way your body is designed to function. You have to just learn how to just give up things and don't hold on to them. You got to know how to just wear things guilty, the guilty things loosely, let it water off your back like water do on the side of a duck, because you thinking in your mind, it could cause you to lose your appetite, it caused your health to be bad. Even in that state, you have to just be mindful of that. And also moral pain. They talk about the people that are in Vietnam, when they went over in war, even some people at a young age, and you see how they just feel bad, and they also have reminiscent of things. They have seen a lot of tragic things and traumatizing things, like post-traumatic syndrome, see things like that. And it caused them to have moral pain in their body, you know, and they just can't seem to get over that. But you just have to believe God and just trust God, just get everything over to him. And also repentance and forgiveness. The effect of guilt feelings are not all negative. It's not everything negative about guilt feelings. Some people have learned to accept mistakes and to grow from them. You know, to confess to God and to others and to rest content is the assurance that if we confess our sins to God, He is just and faithful to forgive us and to purify us from all our sin and unrighteousness. And that's the word of God, confessing our sins to God and forgiving others. So, you know, don't let, you know, guilt sabotage your happiness, you know, or your future. We all make mistakes, and, you know, that's perfectly acceptable because we all go through that avenue one time, sometime in our life, and we all will. But our responsibility is to not let your mistakes be more important than the mistake you made in the first place. I mean, you know, just lighten up, you know. Don't let other people even manipulate you and carry guilt over your past life and your past mistake, because life is just too short, so you just have to manage it well. So I'm going to just leave you with this quote just straight from God. You know, just learn how to walk in asking God to forgive you as well as you walk in forgiving others. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Normiel. We thank God because it's so important. Dr. Normiel has given you so many examples, and she's talked to you by the wayside. She was able to embrace and let you know how guilt can affect your life and the effects of guilt. You know, even there can be physical complications because of things that you've been walking around for 2 or 3 years, even 10 years, things that guilt, things that you may have done, but you need to seek the face of God and help a helping situation, even things that people may have done to you. You need to be able to live healthy, and you need to be able to yield yourself unto God. Again, we thank Dr. June Normiel for blessing us on the day by telling us about the effects of guilt. Now, when we look at guilt, we want to look at this young man. This young man, let's say his name is Al. Al is 28 years old. He is single. He was engaged to a young lady. Al really loved so very much. He was a deacon in his small suburban church. He and his fiance, by the way, they attended the same church. Al had a problem. He had a big problem with masturbation. He knew that he was told that it was common in single men of his age. Now, mind you that he is a young man of 28 years old, and he was feeling guilty about some things that was happening to him in his life, something he felt uncomfortable about. He didn't feel afraid about. He knew that this was something that when someone say that it's common, sometimes that is not common, and you have to deal with what is not right. So Al, when we look at him, he had this problem of masturbation, and he'd been a single man. He was feeling guilty about the practice, and what happened was he was so unable to stop what he was doing. Have you ever been in a situation? Have you ever been to the point? Maybe you was on drugs. Maybe you were drinking alcohol. Maybe you was a wine fizzler or whatever it may have been. And it seems like it was to everybody else, even drinking the wine, it may seem like it was the norm because a lot of people drink wine. But he knew within himself that this wasn't right what he was doing, and he was unable to stop what he was doing. He was unable to stop the masturbation. And when he was in college, he was told by his counselor, and by the way, his counselor wasn't a Christian, and which when he talked to the counselor, he said that, you know, that it was a common practice. He didn't really help L at all. He said that L felt that he really felt ashamed of even some of the thoughts that go through his mind when he masturbates. Now, somebody out there may know of what we're talking about today. You may be going through the same thing, and I believe that God will help us to be able to talk about guilt. And there are so many, as you've heard before, as Dr. Normil, Pastor Lucio, as they talk about guilt, there are so many things that will make you feel guilty. So here we see that he had many thoughts had gone through his mind. He was ashamed what was happening to him. And so he decided he was going to write this letter. And so he wrote this letter. He didn't go see a counselor, but he decided that, because I believe that he was, you know, really ashamed of what was in his mind, what he was doing, something he could not stop doing, something he could not get a hold to. So therefore, he decided that he was going to write this letter. And he did. He wrote the letter to the counselor, and he told him about his fiance was about to get married. He was afraid to marry her. Even the people that was in the church was wondering, when are you going to set the date? When are you going to get married? Even the fiance probably thought the same thing, but he knew he was going through something. He knew he was dealing with something that he had lost control. It wasn't really a natural thing as a saved man, something that he wanted to go through his life. He didn't want to really enter into this relationship and as a single man. He knew he was single and entered into this thing as a married man, and he knew what he was doing was not right. And as I said before, the people in his church kept asking him when he was going to get married. But he felt that he had to put it off because he felt so guilty. And he didn't know what he was going to even respond to the people in his church. Isn't there a time that you go through a situation in your life and there are things that are happening, you don't know who that you can talk to? I'm here to tell you today, as a believer, as a minister of God, as a counselor, we can all tell you that you can always go to God. You can always seek the face of God. The Word of God says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All we have to do is seek the face. All the Word of God tells us we can ask. We can ask God. We can talk to God. We can share with him. We can commit all of these things to him. This young man, he decided that he was going to go and write this letter, as we said, to the counselor so he could get some help. I'm quite sure he was tired of doing what he was doing. So he even thought about his state, that should I resign from being a deacon, because he held a job as a deacon. And he liked really serving in his church. He was really good at what he did. People told him what a good job that he did as a deacon. But he thought, if I resign, then he thought, well, you know, I'm kind of double standard here. I'm here masturbating. I'm here about to get married. I'm doing something that has a control over me. And if I get married, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to say, what is my reason for resigning from my duty as a deacon? So he didn't know really what he was going to do. But here he kept seeking help in order to get some help. He couldn't even really talk to his parents, because even talking to his parents, I'm quite sure that sometimes it's not very easy sometimes, but some people, especially a male, to go to their parents and to tell them what he was going through. But, you know, if you have that relationship with a godly parent, no matter what you may be going through, you can always talk to you're a parent. And most of all, as we said before, you can always talk to God. But guilt for centuries, theologians and philosophers have struggled with the problem of suffering. Because you can imagine this man that's suffering, mental anguish that he was going through. And then the question is asked, why do people suffer? I need to ask that yourself that question, why do people suffer? Does suffering, and then ask yourself, why does suffering serve any useful purpose when a person suffers? And then the third question is, how can human suffering be reduced or eliminated? Because nobody likes to suffer. No one likes to go through different things. Now, when we suffer for the name of Jesus, we go through things of Christ. That is a different way that we're going to suffer, because Christ let us know, even if we suffer in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. There are some things that we're going to go through. But when I'm talking about this Al, this young man, 28 years old, that had a problem, had an issue. Do you have an issue? Do you have something that you're going through that you want to keep concealed and you don't want anybody to really know about what's going on? But even as it has been discussed today, that many times when we keep things on the inside, it can cause heart problems. It can cause us how, don't you, sometimes when you get upset and uptight, sometimes you even feel your abdominal area, it feels kind of squeezy, wherein that you feel kind of even like you're getting pains in your stomach, or your stomach hurts, and you got to hold your stomach, you got to run to the restroom, you got to run to, for whatever reason, because of the fight of what you're feeling like on the inside. So when we ask ourselves these questions, the question can be a little bit complex because of the things that different people suffer for a different reason, and everybody don't go through the same thing, and everybody don't have a committed sin that suffer. Everybody that go through certain things that they have not suffered, but there are some complexity to some of the things that every individual, everything that you don't treat. One symptom of one person may be the same way you treat the other person. But yet, see, one thing is so sure, that God really knows the heart of people, and he knows how to deal with a problem. When you look at a surgeon is specialized in different types of surgery. It could be a heart, it could be gallbladder, pancreas, or whatever it may be, could be your lumbar area, or could be a craniotomy, or whatever it may be. You don't let a doctor that specializes in back surgery go to your brain and go and try to remove a tumor or whatever. You don't let them do it because that is not their specialty. But one thing I can say today, and one thing we can agree on, that God specializes is in every area of our lives. And no matter how complex it may be, that God will be with us. And because our God, he is acquainted with suffering, because he went through some things on our behalf. Do you remember how he went through some things on the cross? Not that he did anything bad, not that he committed sin, but because he did it for the life, for us, that we can have a right to the tree of life. So while some creatures suffer physically, physical pain, human additionally experience anguish of mental suffering. Remember, I was talking about they do suffer mentally. Because of our intellect, we can worry about the future. We sometimes worry about the future. We agonize over the past unconsciously or unconsciously. Consciously, we inflict physical, mental pain on ourselves and on others, and we struggle with the problem of pain in ourselves. So sometimes suffering comes through no fault of our own, but often we suffer because of what we ourselves have done. You know, what we ourselves have done. Listen, guilt is at the basis of much of human suffering. We go through guilt. Just like this young man, you know, he was facing something that he needed help. He needed deliverance. He needed someone to be able to walk him through it. He needed to have a conversation with a specialist. And I believe that even when he was going through, I believe that God was able to deliver him out of this situation, just like he is able to deliver you out of whatever situation that you may be going through on today. Also, it let us know that guilt is like, it has been stated that there is no size, there's no box size big enough to hold all the people, all the persons that are carrying guilt on the inside. I mean, it's a lot of people. You are not by yourself, but you want to be able to be delivered. You want to be free of this so that you can live in a peaceful situation. And only God himself is able to help you. And that's why I always like to point people to Jesus. And I just believe that Jesus will lead and guide and direct you. And I believe that God will give you people like Pastor Lucio, Dr. Normiel, and myself, other Christian counselors, will give you the word of God so that you can grow, that you can increase, that you can be delivered, that you can be free of the things that you're going through. You know, as we begin to get into talk about different things, sometimes that time goes by so quickly, and it is that time, and I want you to know that we will pick up on next week as to on our next broadcast and finish this portion of guilt. I want to just pray with you right now, and I want you to know that God is able to deliver you from anything. And if the guilt is holding you hostage, if anything that's in your heart and your mind that's keeping you down and are present and depressed, you can be delivered of that thing, whether you did it or whether somebody else tried to make you feel guilty or whatever. God want to do something for you on today. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you. God, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. Lord, we thank you, God, for once again allowing God, the women of God, to come on again and to be able to represent you as professional Christian counselors. Lord, I thank you, God, for the anointing that you put upon us, that we can talk about the wayside to the people that out there in Texas and Chicago and California, oh, God, those that in Delaware, Father, those, God, in Jacksonville, Florida, God, those in Georgia, everywhere, all over the state and different cities. Lord, I thank you, Lord, God, for this broadcast called Crossroads, that people can be able to be delivered. That you will go into their living room and their dining room. God, that you go inside of their vehicles, Lord. God, if they're riding down the street, God. Father, wherever they may be right now, God, I pray, God, that you would touch that man and touch that woman, Father God, even that teenager, God, got that deacon in the church, God, even the preacher in the church, God, whatever they, Father God, may be going through, Lord God, I pray, God, that you will come in, God, that you will make a difference in their lives. God, your word says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, God, you said, God, that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I pray even now, God, that every listener, God, that their heart has been touched today, and God, that salvation has come to their house. God, that salvation, God, will come into their inner out of their spirit, Lord God. Father God, do it even now. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. You say, God, if we confess with our mouth, oh Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you say that we shall be saved. So Lord, save God, because you're able to save to the uttermost. And for this, God, we bless and praise thy name. Jesus' name, amen and amen. This has been a Crossroad with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us in our panel on next broadcast. May God bless you, and may God continue to keep you. It's our prayer.